Welcome to Music Majors Unplugged. Do you want to find your place in the world of music and succeed in a career? Do you find yourself up late at night thinking about what your next steps should be? Do you have ambitious goals but are unsure how to pursue them? Hello, my name is Aiden and I too was and still am a college student who wants to pursue music for a living but is unsure of what steps to take. I too feel overwhelmed with all of the things that I have tried to do to further my career and wished everything would just fall into place. I wanted to win a job, I wanted to be accepted into a summer festival, and I wanted to make a living in music, but I kept telling myself that I wasn't a strong enough player and that maybe music was not for me. I discovered that masterclasses were where I learned the best. Just listening and talking to professionals is the easiest way to learn about where you want to take your career in the future. In this podcast, you will learn about new career paths, listen to professionals that are working in the industry, and learn advice to take yourself to the next level so you can find your place in music. So, kind of transitioning into the educational aspect, you got your job at Indiana State, mm-hmm. and you were there for 6 years. Mm-hmm. What was kind of like the reason you left, I suppose, or not left, but like moved on to this new job?
Yeah, I'm from this area. So there was definitely a geographic component of that decision. Because this is kind of where I wanted to live. But when I came to UNI for the interview, I was just really attracted to the community that I found here. Like the faculty that I met were great and got along really well and were really supportive of each other and the process. I really enjoyed my interaction with the students. Going on an interview is really like a ton of work, but I just had such a great time. You know, I was just really attracted to the community here.
Mm-hmm. And here you are the director of orchestra, but also you teach aural training and sight singing 4. Mm-hmm. Was that something you knew you were going to have to do coming in, or was it kind of like, you know, the week before they're like, hey, we need the spot filled, or?
A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew I would do other teaching because, you know, I'm paid to work full time.
Right.
And the orchestra by itself is not a full load, you know, even though it's a significant part of what I do. I have a lot of experience teaching music theory. And so in the course of the interview, obviously one of the things they asked is what else can you teach? And that was part of the list. And so, I knew that the person that I was replacing taught at the end of the theory sequence also.
Oh, okay.
So I knew that there was a good chance that they were looking to fill that as well. And if it hadn't been filled by me, but I could teach something else that would free someone else up to teach that.
Right.
You know, then that would have been fine too. But I like teaching that stuff because I like that music and I use that skill set a lot. And so, yeah, it's fun to teach.
Yeah. Here at the University of Northern Iowa, we kind of have in the orchestra have like a wide breadth of people with different backgrounds, different skill sets. And different, honestly, just like desires of what they want from their personal playing. When you are standing in front of an orchestra that is that diverse in its aspirations, how do you get everybody to like kind of be on the same page?
That is a great question. It's tough because the range of both ability level and like career trajectory couldn't be more all over the map. I mean, the most important part of my job is the repertoire that I program for the orchestra. So I want to program repertoire that I think the orchestra can play, but will learn something from and will serve both students who want to go be professional musicians and may go play in a professional orchestra someday. Like, there's a lot of repertoire that those people need to learn, and this is the time to do it. I also want it to be repertoire that even someone who's just in the orchestra because they want to do it for fun and it's like a stress reliever from their other coursework, that they also will enjoy playing. And there's absolutely repertoire that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like thinking about this year, for example, you know, like we played a lot of pieces that are standard repertoire that are really important pieces for future orchestral musicians to know. A Beethoven symphony, Debussy Afternoon of the Faun, Copland Rodeo, West Side Story. Like, all of these are pieces that people are going to come across again. And sometimes we'll come across in contexts where, like, when you play West Side Story, sometimes you have one rehearsal for a Pops concert and you just play it. Mm. But everybody knows it, so it's fine. We have the luxury of being able to rehearse it for 6 weeks and, like, really know it, right? It's also important for people to play, like, to have the skill set to play contemporary music, music by living composers, because, again, we're gonna do that. We need that skill set. So we did a bunch of that music. There, like, a lot goes into it. Even accompanying, playing for the opera. Like, there will be people who leave this and at some point play for opera companies. They need to have that skill set too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I hope it's always music that people, you know, even if they don't love everything, there's always something that people want to play.
Yeah.
And my goal is to also create a culture where there's access points for people of different ability levels, but also there's an environment where people come to work and to get better. You know, like I want to create an atmosphere that is inviting and welcoming and encouraging, and also that we're going to work. Right. Because, I mean, I believe that people want to be a part of something that's good and that's attractive. And so it's a really delicate balance, and it's not always easy, and I don't always get it right. Like, sometimes things that I think will be great and will work don't. And then you either have a choice to change course, which is tough because there's so much that goes into preparing.
Right.
And sometimes you just have to see it through, and like, it just is what it is, and you move on, you know? And that's part of continuing to learn.
I think one of my biggest fears as an educator is that I'll do one of two things. I'll either, you know, I don't plan on ever conducting an orchestra, but like, I'm thinking in terms of like a chamber ensemble or something, that I'll be working with students and I'll be really focused on the higher level students and I'll leave the students that are lower level behind, or I'll have to spend all my time with the lower level students and the higher level students never get better. And I think that when I'm sitting in your orchestra, like, it always seems like there's just this great balance of like everybody's getting better together, and nobody feels like, you know, unless it's the trombone sitting through a section of West Side Story, like, nobody's ever not doing something to get better. What is your process and kind of like your philosophy on making sure that everybody is always getting the attention and improvement that they need, besides just repertoire, you know?
I mean, I think that's really tied into your method of rehearsing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how do you lead an ensemble through every rehearsal? And I mean, it does start with the repertoire, because you want to make sure that what we play is possible. But also, it's not so easy that we don't need to rehearse.
Right.
Right. Like, that's where you wanna hit. But you, I don't know. I feel like I have learned over the course of, you know, however many years that I've done this, how to read when someone has the potential to get better and when they're already doing as much as they can. And when someone has the potential to get better, then that's when it's my job to help them. Right? Like, if someone miscounts a bunch of rests and comes in wrong and does it, you know, if it happens once, you don't say anything, because maybe they'll just figure it out on their own, or maybe they had a fluke or whatever. But if it happens more than once, then, and it's something that you know that they can fix, then you address it. And I think the method of giving feedback is super important, because, like, you don't want to shame someone for making a mistake, but you you do need to give them critical feedback so that they can get better, right? It's important to be patient, but to also be specific, right? Like, you can't just say to a group of people, like, well, that wasn't very good, let's make it better, right? That doesn't help them, mm-hmm. right? If you're trying to, say, fix intonation, like, they may need to be told, you're playing sharp, or, you know, your rhythm is incorrect, this is what is correct. But, I hope to always do that in a way that is constructive and building up a student and giving correction for improvement, knowing that they can, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the key step, is believing that they can and helping them to see that they can, and then teaching them how. It all plays into the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm really answering your question. No, or not.
I think so.
It's a really complicated question. Mm-hmm. And part of it is also the relationship that you build with your ensemble. And like, there are things that I can fix without ever saying anything, because I know my ensemble and they know me. And there are things that I can just show from the podium that I never have to talk about, that just get better. And also, there are things that we have worked on in the past, which play themselves out in the future too, you know, like, that's part of teaching. And then there are things that, you know, you have to say, and so you figure out how to do it. And I mean, there's a lot of teaching, yeah. you know, like, this is the issue and this is how you fix it.
You mentioned relationship, and it kind of ties into my next question. How do you walk into a program? You know, you've been here for 4 years now. How do you walk into a program and assert yourself as, like, the new leader, but without, you know, turning people off from, you know, like, do you have a process of trying to keep some of the old but also bring in new, or are you just like, this is what the program is now? And you had the added trouble of going through that all with COVID.
Yeah, COVID really was an interesting thing. When you show up to a new place, it's different depending on what you're there for. Like, if I am conducting an honors orchestra and it's going to be one day, mm-hmm. right? That's a different relationship than something like this. There are certain things that you want to make sure happen right away, because it will really determine the course of your relationship for as long as you're there. You know, like, it's important to me on the first day that I'm in charge and that the orchestra is actually following me, right? Like, I'm talking about the like physical following of the baton and listening and playing together, you know, like that, like being the leader in that sense is really important to me. But also setting the expectation, like, there are certain expectations that we never ever talk about in rehearsal, because they were things that I just came in at the beginning and they were expectations, and they just are now. Like, that we always start exactly on time. And, you know, we always start by tuning, that people are quiet when we're not playing. Like, I've never said, please don't talk while we're not playing. Like, it just happens. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is just the sort of expectations you enforce sort of right away and then just become normal, right? They just become standard. So there's a lot of that I want to kind of just have be norms from the very beginning. But also the sort of atmosphere of rehearsal. Like, I feel like I am definitely in charge of the rehearsal, but I'm not like a dictator raining down thunderbolts from on high, right? Like, it's not an environment where people are worried that I'm going to yell at them. right? And that's important to me too. Mm-hmm. Like that, and that's just also part of who I am. Like, again, back to like just being fully yourself. Like, I'm just not a super mean person, but I, you know, so I want to kind of set that standard from the very beginning too, that people feel comfortable, people feel safe. Like, it's okay for people to make mistakes in rehearsal, and like they're not terrified to make mistakes. It's a lot of those things are important to just like set up right away at the beginning. You know, so I guess I can't say that I thought a lot about sort of what had been before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wasn't here, that wasn't me.
Right.
When I first came in, like I just came in and like did my thing, right? I like was who I am and rehearsed the way that I rehearsed and led the orchestra the way that I do. And so you develop your own culture pretty quickly, mm-hmm. you know, it can develop. So
awesome. Well, that was kind of all I had. Well, I guess I have one final question.
Sure.
What advice do you have to college students that are either looking into pursuing conducting or about to graduate with a degree in conducting? Like, what is your advice? And then also to music educators, just, you know, our school is full of them. Mm-hmm. So what is your advice to those two groups of people?
Yeah, I'll start with music educators. I mean, I think it's so important to always remain like in the mindset of learning, right? Like always be paying attention to the way that you are teaching, how it is playing out in front of you. And like that will help you to keep getting better, right? Like it still happens for me on the podium that like I will show something in a certain way and it does not come out the way that I thought it would. And I have two choices, right? Like I can either just insist on doing what I'm doing and then like tell the orchestra, no, you're doing it wrong, do it this way. And then what are you training them to do? You're training them to ignore you and to just do what they know you want,
mm-hmm.
instead of showing what you want. And so like I'm always refining what I do to arrive at the kind of product that I want. And that's true of any kind of teaching, right? Like if you're standing in front of a, you know, very beginner band, or if you're in an elementary classroom and not conducting at all and teaching, or if you're, you know, doing private trumpet lessons or whatever, like how you teach, like I would encourage music ed students to always be curious and paying attention to how your students respond to that, how your ensembles respond to that, and how your delivery is like reflected back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like my very favorite moments in teaching are when things that I hope are true and, you know, have written about in my teaching philosophy, students say back to me after I have never actually verbalized those things, because then I know it's actually working,
mm-hmm.
right? Like what I hoped I am doing is happening, and the students perceive it enough that they can say it back to me. Those are my favorite moments. It's because then it's like, okay, that is working. My advice for conductors, you know, it's such a tricky profession. And I mean, this is true for all musicians, is you really have to be used to a lot of things not going your way, you know, and you have to be in it for the right reasons, because it's something that you are so compelled to do that you're going to just like keep staying the course and like keep trying. And like I've been very fortunate to have many opportunities come my way, and I've also had a lot of things not go my way that I thought would. And that's always a hard pill to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be in it because you really love it, and you have to continue to want to get better and better. And be ready for when the opportunities come, because you never know what's going to turn into something and what's not going to turn into something. And along the way, I think it's so valuable to create opportunities for yourself. Like, people are willing to do stuff, especially if you're great to work with and are good at what you do. People are willing to do things and help, you know, and like help each other. And I mean, I've been helped along by some really world-class musicians who have done some huge favors for me at times that I really had a lot to benefit from, and they did not have to do, right? Like, mm-hmm. it was not something that they had to do, and yet they said yes, and it made a huge difference in my career. And so, you know, I think you have to be really creative and try stuff and like try making opportunities for yourself, and some things will work and some things won't, and you learn from both and you just kind of keep going. So I don't know, things always have a way of working themselves out in the long run, even when sometimes in the moment it feels like, wow, like what am I doing? Yeah. And I've been there many times, you know, where it's like I just don't know what's gonna happen now. Like, how is this all gonna work out? So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Is there any events, dates, anything you wanna shout out quick?
Well, I don't know when this will air, but Star Wars Day is tomorrow.
Hopefully tonight.
On Friday, May the 3rd be with you. So come to the Gallagher Lobby to hear some Star Wars.
5 o'clock.
At 5 o'clock, yes, that's right. What else is going on? I mean, the semester now is kind of over, so.
Anything with Winona coming up?
Not till next season, really. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So stay tuned next year. You can come to stuff.
Sounds good. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Aiden.
All right, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you could take 30 seconds to follow us and share with a friend who also might find this information helpful, that would mean a lot. Follow us on social media. It means the world to know that this podcast is making a difference in your life. Keep practicing, performing, and learning. We'll be back soon with another episode.